My name is Faisal Al Azam, and we're part of the Collective of Montreal for Syria.
Welcome to CKUT.
Thank you.
Could you give a brief overview for listeners who may know little of Syria about the events leading up to the national uprising and what's taken place over the last 5 months?
Well, basically, 5 months ago, the 15th of March, particularly, the people of Syria went on the streets demanding liberty and a change of their way of life. Syria is one of the most, if not the most, oppressed country in the world. And the way the uprising started is little children in Dar'a wrote on the wall, the people want to overthrow the regime. And they've seen these images on TV in Egypt and Tunisia and other Arab countries. And the way the regime reacted is by detaining those children. Those children disappeared for almost a month. And this is how the uprising started. Initially, people went on the street just demanding change. They started saying, we want a stop to the emergency law in Syria that permits the government to detain any person without any questions. And after that, they were met with bullets, with snipers, with tanks. And the people completely changed. And it became, we want to overthrow the regime. So it started with, we want change. And the way they reacted forced the people to nationwide to ask for a complete regime change.
Okay. What is the current situation? Can you give a sense through numbers? How many casualties and captives, etc.?
The current situation is very bad. Till now, we have reports of 3,000 that are killed since the 15th of March, 12,000 in prison, 20,000 refugees, and we have approximately 3,000 people we don't know anything about them that have disappeared. So they are either in prison or killed.
So you are a member of the Collective for Syria in Montreal. What efforts has the collective taken in solidarity with the people of Syria?
Well, the way that we're reacting is we're trying to pressure the Canadian government and the Canadian parliament because Canada has a big role in Syria. The first thing we need to understand is that there is a very strong economic relationship between Canada and Syria. Canada right now, via a company called Suncor, which is based in Calgary, has a $1.2 billion contract in Syria. And this money is not going to the people. This money is going to fuel the killing machine because the oil industry is a state industry that is owned by the state in Syria. So this money, this is blood money, basically. And another point is that politically, even though Stephen Harper made a statement asking Bashar al-Assad, the president, to step down, but we still have diplomatic relationships with Syria. We still have our ambassador that's there. Other countries such as Italy and Switzerland have recalled their ambassador. So what we're doing, we're trying to tackle these 2 points. And the way we're doing that, we started with petitions. Every day you can find us at 6 p.m. on Bishop and St. Catherine Street. We have a petition asking specifically to recall our ambassador and to make a clear political statement that we no longer want to deal, we no longer recognize this gang that is killing Syrian citizens. And the second thing we want to tackle is to block this project in Syria, this Suncor project that is fueling this killing machine. And so this is one way that we're doing it, via petitions. Each Friday we're sending them to Ottawa, and this effort started in Montreal and is now duplicated in Ottawa, Windsor, Vancouver, and Toronto. So it became almost nationwide. The second thing we're doing is that we're asking people to send letters to their representative in Parliament asking specifically these demands. And I would like to invite your listeners today to join us at 11 a.m. We're going to meet in front of Concordia University, and we're going to take the bus to the refinery of Suncor, located on Sherbrooke East. And we're going to have a very large protest in front of the refinery, and we're going to have a press release, and the media is going to be there. And everyone is welcomed. And for more information, you can visit us on our Facebook page, Collective for Syria in Montreal.
Great. Okay. Journalists have been prevented from reporting from Syria. With that in mind, what is your opinion of press coverage nationally and in Montreal?
I think the press coverage has been favorable because you cannot take your eyes off the truth. I mean, it is so evident what is happening there. And unfortunately, the strategy that the regime is using is making up their own theories and their own conspiracy theories. And at the same time, no one is allowed coverage in Syria. So you don't have CNN, you don't have Al Jazeera. And I guess they learned this lesson from the Egyptian revolution. any little thing or any misconduct that was done by the army or the police was automatically covered by the international channels in Egypt. And Syria, they learned their lesson. So no one is allowed. We have all these very brave people that are filming with their mobiles. We have tens of thousands on videos that you can see on YouTube and on Facebook showing children that are getting killed. People always getting shot in the same manner, a bullet in their head, so very clearly by snipers, tanks shooting at people. We've seen the Navy as well use missiles against cities, for example, the city of Latakia. So we have all this footage, but at the same time, we're supposed to believe the theory of the government that this is armed gangs that are doing, that are killing people in Syria. So it's absolutely nonsense.
It's atrocious.
Yeah, it is absolutely atrocious. And the world knows that. The only people who are in denial are the Syrian government. I mean, it's just incredible. And I just want to say, they talk about armed gangs. I think it's clear for everyone that it's true. There is one big gang in Syria, and it's the Syrian government. So,
indeed. So how do you think the situation in Syria will influence other Arab countries and their own struggles for freedom?
I think we're setting up a very important example in Syria. Yesterday, I was watching an interview in the BBC, and they were saying that it's absolutely remarkable what the Syrian people have been doing. I mean, this peaceful resistance, we haven't seen one person, I haven't seen a single clip of any Syrian protester using arms against the army, the police, although they are being intimidated, they are being attacked. There are reports of rapes, I mean, atrocities happening. I can give you stories that it's impossible that it's not going to tear your soul. We have a story of a 13-year-old called Hamza al-Khatib, 13 years old, in Dar'a. They stopped him, they detained him. He was returned back to his parents with his kneecapped, destroyed, and his penis cut off. I mean, is that a regime that can reform someone that does that? We have another example of, this is one of thousands of examples, of a person that was singing against Bashar al-Assad in a kind of a, using humor, Syrian humor, against the president. So they detained him. And of course, it's not a surprise in Syria that this happens. They tortured him, killed him, and they removed his throat. So there is always crimes against humanity and symbolic crimes that this regime does to intimidate and scare people. We remove your throat. You speak against us, this is what will happen. So this is what we're dealing with in Syria. And the way that people have been reacting is absolutely remarkable and courageous. And we're setting up an example. I mean, don't wait for the world. If you want your dignity and your freedom, you have to go for it. And what we're asking is our Canadian government to support the struggle. I mean, me, when I emigrated to Canada, and many of us, we came here because we have such a fantastic human rights way of living, and we promote human rights so much. And we're a pioneer in human rights. And having a company right now like Suncor that has a $1.2 billion investment with this regime is absolutely incredible. I mean, the CEO of Suncor, Rick George, did an interview and said Suncor staying in Syria is for the benefit of the Syrian people. I'm asking Rick George this question right now. Go and ask any protester that is risking his life, the life of his family on the streets of Syria, would he want the regime to stay for electricity and oil? The answer is no. And why doesn't Suncor realize that? Why doesn't our government realize that? And another thing, like, I'm going to give them a very simple equation. If let's assume person A supports with resources person B who's hurting other people, doesn't this make person A accomplice? The answer is yes. Why don't they realize that as well? I mean, it is as simple as this. And then the way they are, their argument is that they are not dealing directly with the Syrian regime. They are dealing through their partnership, because their partner is called the General Petroleum Corporation. But this partner reports directly to the Ministry of Oil and Energy in Syria. So we are complicit. So I'll give you an example from an interview of Rick George, the CEO of Suncor. And in his interview, he said that Suncor wants the best for the Syrian people, and the presence of Suncor in Syria is for the benefit of the Syrian people. And we find that this statement is completely has complete contradiction. the only thing that is beneficial for the Syrian people is to get rid of this regime, is a regime change. This is what we're asking for, and this is what is obvious for the entire international community. By supporting and by financing and by investing in this regime, you are making them stronger. And this way, we are so much away and further from achieving regime change. So it's complete contradiction. And my hope and our hope is for them to realize that. And I just want to end by saying is that if Canada and if Suncor want to invest in something, invest in the people of Syria. Don't invest in these criminals, because the regime is going to crumble. It happened in Egypt. You guys saw that it happened in Libya a couple of days ago. And the regime eventually is going to go. And the Syrian people and the Middle Easterns and Arabs in general, they're going to remember who stood with us and who stayed silent. So if they want to invest in something, invest in the people. They will remember.
This is Faisal Al-Adam from the Collective for Syria in Montreal. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.